Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Real Talking Podcast. Now, unfortunately, it has been a couple of weeks because we've had some technical issues. We've still had it this morning while we've been messing around with it, but we've finally got it sorted anyway. So, unfortunately, you have missed two amazing episodes as well. So, episode 9, which was a special for the coronation weekend. We had a lot of fun UK facts and history stats, a few weird ones. There was the monkey hangers, which if I can get the audio fixed for those two, then I will get those published. You might find them at some point in the future, but if not, we'll probably just touch back onto the shit we was chatting with those. And number 10 was
kind of like a summary of the previous 10 episodes.
Yeah, it was a bit of a special episode. Your birthday weekend special coming up as well. We was having a little bit of a drink. There was some would you rathers on there.
I actually thought number 10 was probably one of the better ones we have done.
Which is a shame. That's the one.
Because the would you rather, if we can't get the audio back, we'll definitely have to come back to
I think we will do some more would you rathers again.
Because there was just weird.
Because there was the would you rather be completely bald or completely hairy like a gorilla, and that was some controversy from the pair of us because you'd rather be completely bald, I'd be hairy, and you just didn't agree with me.
I just thought just the maintenance on it just alone would just be
I've got all that maintenance at the moment anyway, because I know I've got long hair on the top anyway and I'm trying to grow it out on the back and side so it's all long, but my routine now, so when I have my shower, I'll pre-wash the hair to get any general dust out.
But so
so all my hair in general, I've got my cheap shampoo that I'll pre-wash to get the dirt out. Then I give it a second pre-wash to make sure all the dirt's out, which it's mad because you do see all the dust and stuff in the water as it goes down the shower. Then I've got my special hair promotion growth shampoo which goes in all of it, and including the beard this is at the same time, so it goes in all of that, leave it in for 5 minutes while I wash the rest of the body. Then I wash all that out, then I put conditioner in, which that stays in for a couple of minutes as well. And then now what I've recently added is the rosemary oil. So after my hair's dried to a certain degree, I put the rosemary oil in all of it, which that helps promote the growth.
Are you using one of those derma rollers as well?
No. So that's with another...
is it Morox oil or something?
I think it is Morox oil, yeah. So if you're using that, it's not because I've got ball patches. I just want to promote the growth, get the back and the sides longer, quicker. So I'll put that in, and then it's a different one that you have to use for the beard. So it's castor oil basically that I've always used the beard oils anyway, but the castor oil helps grow the beard because I know it's probably hard to remember, but before I shaved it all off for the charity a couple of years ago, it was actually longer. It was touching my chest, and it just seems to stay at this length now, and I want it longer again.
I think you should go it off.
No, I'm not shaving it off.
Or just trim it.
I do need
just
to
go
but
like.
I don't.
No, I mean, like, so it's just short. Nah. So it's not a. You wouldn't call it a beard, you call it.
I wanna keep it longer. I wanna get longer with it. But the main thing, I want all my hair the same length anyway. So yeah, that's a full routine with that. So back to the would you rather. Being hairy, I'm used to it anyway. So that wouldn't bother me. And we also touched on favourite comedians and that as well, because
we went
off when it was the week after we'd done the record, because we tried to be clever, tried to do two records in one sitting.
Yeah, to save.
Yeah, because the following week we went and saw Tom Segura live in Birmingham, and then you was going away for your birthday. I had stuff to do last weekend, so yeah. Trying to get ahead and get the records done, but it just didn't work. Bloody technical issues, but sure, we've sorted it now. Tom Segura was good. I was a little underwhelmed with it, essentially, because a lot of his material I already know because of watching him on his podcast and that anyway. But did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it.
We didn't really talk about it as
no,
well.
No,
anyway.
Well,
we just...
So, did you hear some of the jokes already there?
It's not that... wasn't exactly the jokes that he's already told, it's just I knew the stories.
So as well as hearing them for the first time.
So I knew where it was all going. Like, I still enjoyed it, you know. It was for the price, because I think it was like £30 each, so you know, it was a good experience, and plus obviously we made our mate there, didn't we? Getting the cheap beers.
Yes.
Skipping the queue, paying cash, saving money. Well, we saved £4 each pint. So.
Well, cash is king. So.
He made himself a little earner, that won't go
in the till, mate.
It was a good. So I think in the next couple of episodes we'll start bringing in some of these would you rather questions and do some of the quizzes and whatnot.
I did like, as I said, I know I've just mentioned it, but I did like number 10 for that quiz, like that.
Yeah,
that feel for it. I thought it was especially because we had a few beers as well. Whilst we went out for food, it was just, you know, it was good.
I know, because it was getting quite late by the end, and I mean, it was probably about an hour and 10 minutes worth of just rambling on, and we only had to cut it off really because I had to get back home with the wife myself. But it is what it is. It's done. If I can recover the audio, the video was just. The video's there, there's just no audio with it because the other microphone just didn't pick up with the camera. It's just fucking...
Yeah.
It's still a learning curve anyway, you know, but new to this. We didn't do well in school. Like, we did okay. But this is all new still. We didn't have podcast lessons in school or anything, did we? You know,
we wasn't taught what we needed to learn. If you heard number episode one, it literally just a case of putting it together, sitting down, and just... hitting record and pointing out there. Obviously, you know, we're getting better. You're getting loads better with the audio. With the editing and everything.
Yeah. I mean,
you're
it helps
really well.
That I'm actually using a program that I paid for instead of just a free one that you could just clip and cut and press play, basically. But, yeah, we're getting there.
Well, I've also, obviously, cause I never listened to podcasts before doing a podcast, which is weird when you think about it. But no, since then I have listened to a few podcasts.
Yeah.
And I've become a fan from doing it. I can understand the effort that goes into them, because it's when you have a specific topic, you know, you kind of keep on the same, you know, topic.
Mm-hmm.
But look, as we're doing it, obviously we're trying to, you know, be different every week. It is, you know, you have to put a conscious effort into like putting out the right stuff, and you know, just challenge it constantly.
Yeah, because we haven't really got a running theme, have we? Obviously, we did the one episode where it was the ghost talk.
That's the
personal experiences and stuff.
Because that's one thing I think we touched on episode. Well, we're calling this episode 9.
Yeah,
so this is episode 9, but version. Like,
it's technically episode 11, yeah.
But we touched about like probably getting people on the podcast.
Yeah, that's the future goal.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can start getting people on, having guests of sorts. We're going to sort out the studio in a couple of weeks, so you'll see some new scenery. You won't see this beautiful radiator beyond us anymore.
It is a nice radiator.
It is, to be fair.
Did I pick that up? Or did,
I know you chose it together anyway, didn't you?
Probably I chose it then.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It was more paint colour anyway. So, yeah, once the studio's sorted out, then we'll have a bit more room to get a guest in and whatnot. But yeah, so I think going forward, we'll have other different topics, and we'll touch on some more different types of scenarios, like the zombie apocalypse style and that as well. But yeah, so going on, so we in the week that we have actually had off, I've been busy work-wise, and you've been on your jollies. You've had a nice holiday, haven't you?
Yeah, so I went to Amsterdam. Yeah. First time I've been there. It was an experience, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
It definitely was. But yeah, I just, the one thing that stood out for me was the amount of bicycles. Like no one commutes by car, just bicycles and trams.
I've not been there myself, but it is the bicycle capital of the world, isn't it, really? Everyone, that's their mode of transport, isn't it?
Yeah, so I read there was 880,000 bicycles in Amsterdam. That's four times the population. So there's four times bikes there is people there.
That's crazy, though, isn't it? Why would you have three extra bikes?
Yeah.
Is it because you got three flat tyres on them or something?
But when we was doing a tour, a lady says that they retrieve 12 to 16,000 out of the canals every year on top of that.
Bloody hell.
And we was like, whoa, why is there so many in there? And she just said, when the drunk, they fall in there. Or they get stolen. But if you went out and you put your bike somewhere and locked it up, and you went out, you would never find it. And no. If you got absolute steam and couldn't remember how the fuck you got there.
Because
they're just fucking everywhere. But no, it was really good. But I've got to tell you about the peep show.
Yeah.
That we went to. So if you have been here, you know what I'm on about, but if you haven't, so you go in, you pay €2, and I think it lasts for 2 minutes, and so it's in a circle, and then in the middle of the circle where you you have a frosted glass, you pay €2, the glass unfrosts, and then all you can see is like a revolving circle bed. And
so like Austin Powers style.
Yeah. To be fair, Austin Powers would have been better than the woman we seen, because we saw Barbara. She was about a 50-year-old from Barnsley. Like, she looked like someone like that.
Yeah.
And but the most weird thing is you can see the other people watching in.
So are you like in
So you're like in a circle?
Yeah, but so, where you are, do you walk into like a photo booth sort of
thing. So you're in your own little cubicle. You walk in your own little cubicle, you put the €2 in, your glass unfrosts. It's just weird because when we unfrosted it, there was a geezer like directly opposite us, and he just looked at us and was smiling, nodding his head. He's just like, what's he doing?
So he wasn't nodding his head, no.
He was doing something, mate. And but we made the mistake putting €2 in, so we had it for 4 minutes, and it was just painfully too long, just because you wanted to go, but you can't open the door in case anyone sees, and because they're proper strict with security over there. And bless her, she took her underwear off, you know, showed us everything she's got, and it was weird. And then so anyway, that was like the most seediest thing I thought, because we'd done all the sex shows.
Yeah,
which I thought was, I liked it. It had like a.
don't pause when you're saying that you like it, because some people out there will know what these sex shows are like, and if it's on the stranger side and they're thinking you liked this weird thing that I've seen before.
No, so I just liked it because obviously you have people fucking on stage, and then in between that you have like a stripper But it's kind of like, it's not serious, it's a bit comedic, like, to get people up from, you know, the audience and type part. It's got a comedic factor to it.
So, similar to that one afternoon in the Legion, when I won the raffle thing and got pulled up on the stage by the stripper there.
Yeah, but it was more... Yeah, but it had more like of a show to it. Like it was
not just
they do it every night. And it, so
just terrorism there.
No, it was fun. Like to have everyone come up, well, the pick people to come up, and you know, it's just funny. It's funny, and I think it was €60, but you could stay there all night if you wanted to.
Yeah, so it's like
entry
£60, yeah. A club, but all the other acts are just going on and on all night.
But the weird thing is, you see like the old men on their own, they're coming, quickly jump at the back, and you'll see them like every like 2 minutes go or, like row closer. The next thing you know, they're in the front row, like watching. It's just like, fucking hell. But the most serious thing, so in terms of all that, the most serious thing I've seen in there, so... Where the Peep Show was, that was in a different venue to where the Sex Show was.
Mm.
So you have the Peep Show in the Dome.
Yeah.
And to the right, you had like porn booths. So you watch porn and obviously masturbate. Cause I assume so, because there was tissue in there.
Well, yeah. Like, yeah.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
What do you need to do? What, like, just do it at your house now?
Yeah, I don't see why you'd have to
go out
to
now.
A booth for it when you can just... stay in your hotel room and watching on your phone or something. That is a bit strange.
It is weird.
Paying to go and have a wank. Yeah. That's weird. Like,
I don't know if you can select your fucking type of porn, but obviously in your own house you can just put whatever you want on.
I suppose it's probably because when people are walking up and down the Red Light District all day, they can't hold it in long enough to get back to the hotel.
But it's not even a door that's blocking it. It's like a curtain.
Yeah,
so like it's like so the way I walked in to this venue with the Peep Show was you walk in the Peep Show dome to your left, and then you had like three or four booths to your right where you watch the pornos. There was something at the back. I can't remember what it was. That was just weird. But so all that's on the Red Light District. And what I've found weird about the Red Light District is, you know, you're walking around, it's busy, it's like the hub, obviously you've got cafes, restaurants just off it, so it is pretty much, you know, prime location. And you walk past, you see the girls in the windows, which is weird, like, because you can be standing, I don't know, as close to me and you, so 2 feet away.
Yeah.
And there's just a big glass, and they're standing there, and then pointing it to come in. Now, I don't know who has the balls to knock the window in this crowded area, ask, you know, this is what they want, if they can offer it. Them go, yeah. Then you see them inside until they close the curling. So, and then I just can't imagine someone having the balls to go in and out while it's that busy. I know that's what it's there for.
Yeah.
But I've always seen someone come out and I just wanted to laugh. Like, it was weird as well because, so the main Red Light District is on either side of like a canal.
Yeah.
So left and right, all the way down. But just off of me, I have like little off, like little alleyways and they're in there as well. And for me, you'd probably want to go into like the less busy ones.
Yeah.
But no, this guy's just straight out, dizzy, straight out. Australian, curling's clothes, just like, I can see you in there.
Obviously that's what it's there for, and it's the different cultures, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's what, you know, same again with the cafes, which are just for the smoking and eating the cakes and stuff. It's completely different, isn't it? But yeah, I think it's because of where we come from. It's obviously it's not legal here, and it is a bit more taboo to do something like that. But if you think of it as a different service, you know, if you walk down a road that was full of tattoo shops and you see everyone walking in, getting the tattoos and walking back out, it's that kind of thing, really, yeah. Isn't it? But obviously, you're getting a better service, unless you're really into tattoos.
Well, yeah, but what I was meant to say, I would have forgot, some of them have like a piece of paper in the window and says, couples welcome.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're a couple, you can still get it. You know.
Yeah.
We went to the Red Light Museum as well, and it's basically, you know, it used to be, I don't know if it's called a brothel, I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
So it's left the way how it was. And, yeah, it's just weird. It's just got a bed, a sink, like a bidet thing. And then
just
all the loo.
Wash the fanny out.
Literally, yeah. Crack back onto it.
Fair dues. But so I've heard that it's not just the Red Light District now as well, that you've got, I think it's an orange district, which is all men in the windows. And then there's like a multicoloured one, which has got transgenders in the windows and that as well.
Yeah, see, I heard before when there's a blue light district, which is for ladyboys, basically. But I didn't see that.
Right.
And it's, if, in the vicinity of that, the area where the red light district is, I didn't see it. It might have been further on down the main route, because I didn't go all the way down, possibly, but
yeah.
I didn't see it.
I suppose, because once you've seen 10 windows, you're like, all right, there's not much difference now, at least that.
There's... I would say there's probably about over 100 on
so you went to the museums. I know you're really into your art, aren't you? Some nice paintings.
No, I didn't go to either to those two top two museums. I know the one's the Van Gogh Museum. I can't remember, I think it's the Roy Car, but nah, I didn't. I just, we done a lot of tours. We done the Anne Frank house though. Which was interesting, because I always thought, like, how can people hide in a house and not get caught? Like, obviously she did in the end.
Yeah.
But how did
spoilers.
But how did they get away for so long? Like, hide door bookcase, they never find us. But I understand why, because literally, if you've ever been there, you'll know it's like a house within a house.
Right.
So the house they was living in, like, secretly, it was probably bigger than my house. And it's mad to think. It wasn't like a room. It was kitchen, bathroom, bedroom. Like, it's probably same size as this house, if not a little bit bigger.
Yeah. But I can't... I'm trying to think of the term for it now. It's... I don't think it's really a thing over here. I've only really seen stories of it over in America, where it's people that secretly live in other people's lofts. So there's one in particular.
Well, this is an actual thing.
Like, yeah, so it's called like squirreling or something. So essentially, like, because you're hiding in someone's house, and then when they go out to work, you jump out the loft and you know, use the facilities, you know, have food from the fridge and whatever, and then you go back up into your little hidey hole in the loft or whatever. Because I've seen a few videos anyway, but the one in particular, they'd heard noises like from the loft, and they'd notice things moved and whatever, so they'd set up a camera. I think it was in the garage, so they must have been living in the loft above the garage. And the chap pretended to drive off as if to go to work and whatever. And then you see the loft hatch lift up, move to the side, and then like this geezer's head just pops down, so he's having a look around, and then he's got his own little ladder that he's got, and he pulls it, like drops it down to the floor, starts coming down, and your man walks through back into his garage. He's like, fucking get out of the house, you dickhead. So he kicks him out, so he goes back in, grabs his bag, and then comes back out the loft and just does one look. I can't remember what it's called, but it's quite common, really. It's just, how can you, I mean, I only know from lofts over here, from going up in them, doing work so often, with the insulation that's in the lofts, and it's itchy and it's hot, you can't breathe. And if you're lucky, there's a light up there, but you know, you haven't got power to be charging your phone or anything. So if you're up there watching stuff on your phone all the time, you've only got a couple of hours before it dies.
Mm.
So you've got to be well equipped. You've got to have battery banks and whatever. If you need the toilet, like, you can't be like just weaning in the corner.
Yeah.
You'd notice a stain coming through on the loft and whatever. It's just, I don't know how people do it, to be fair.
And what's this called? Squirrelling?
It's something like that. That's not actually the word, because otherwise I remember it. Again, I've got peacocking here, but it's not peacocking, because that's like showing off, like trying to pull someone, isn't it? Oh God, that's going to do me head in now. But yeah, it is an actual thing. So they're literally just hiding other people's houses, just living
there.
Yeah, just obviously for free. Which obviously, I mean, you've been to America a few times as well. I mean, yeah, you've seen the homeless situation over there.
Yeah.
So it's understandable why people would do it then.
Have you not seen the video recently of I think it was either in LA or San Francisco. It was definitely in California, where there's a tent that obviously homeless geezer. But he's got a projector. He's watching TV on a projector.
No, I've seen that.
It's got his tent's fucking massive as well. And like, he's just chilling in there watching a big projector in his fucking tent.
But like, everyone outside would be able to see what he's watching then as well, though, wouldn't they?
Well, no, you could, yeah, you could. I can't remember what he watched, but I think he was watching just the news or something at the time.
Yeah.
But the weird thing about San Francisco is you can go in there and rob something. And unless it's over a certain, I think it's $200.
No, I think it's under $1,000. No, New York's under $1,000.
So, all right, so like, I think San Francisco had some great, it's 200. So as long as it's $200, you can't get done for it.
Yeah,
you just get a warning.
Do that.
No. And then police get called out. They only can give you a warning.
Yeah.
If you get caught, so you've got homeless people just going into like the stores. It's like in hand of hose of shit.
Yeah, you would do that, wouldn't you?
You're not fucking doing it, mate.
It is mad, because, again, especially like, since they've got the gun laws and that, and you've got to have some balls to just walk in and like, hope that you're not going to get shot because you're stealing some food from the shop and that. I mean, obviously over here, people do it and they're going with knives and whatever, and it's, I suppose it is easier because the time that it takes the police to come over and like, try and stop you, arrest you and whatever, they're already gone, ain't they? So, yeah, you got to have some balls.
I was shocked the amount of homeless people I did see.
Mm.
That it is, there's a few. It was weird to the point where you go down one street, fine, you turn like a left and it's just hundreds of hundreds of just harmless people, and you're like, yeah, I'm fucking going down there, mate.
It is strange, though, isn't it? Because you, again, like, I've only seen it on the TV, but it's like there just be a whole street where it's just little tents, shopping trolleys just with all the personal items, and it's just full of the homeless people. It's a strange reality, really. It's a shame that, obviously, when anyone gets homeless, everyone's got all the different circumstances. It's weird that they can do something about it. Not the homeless people, I'm on about the governments and that. They can do something about it. They just choose not to, really.
Mm.
You know, I've found it interesting for the last couple of years, really. Not that I go to town centres often now, but the amount of shops and everything that are closing due to the likes of Amazon just dominating everything. You know, anything you need, Amazon, eBay, it's all there, Etsy and everything. So with all these empty shops and that on the high streets, again, with all the banks that are closing down and like, individual branches, what are they going to do with those? Surely it would just be easy, because a lot of the councils own those buildings in the town centres anyway. So surely they could just convert those into hostels of sorts and just move the homeless people in. But they won't do, because they won't be able to make money off of it, basically.
It doesn't say cost them money to do one.
Yeah, but I say, it's just, they could do it, they won't do it, because they're not going to earn off of it. Which is, it's a shame, because there shouldn't be as many homeless people as there is. I get it when it's self-inflicted, because you've done gambling and drug addiction and whatever, so you've lost all your money that way. But when you see it's the locks of the ex-military people that have lost everything because of PTSD or whatever, and seeing them on the streets. It's such a shame. You know, every now and again, I won't give them money whenever I see a homeless person. I'll buy them food. So go in the shop, get them a sandwich and a drink and whatever, and give them that way. Because at least then you know they're not going to waste it on drugs and alcohol. I remember the one time when we was living in the pub, I was walking from my pub down to another pub with Kiefer, and he just jacked the fruit machine, so he's got £100 in his pocket. And it was always the same one outside the co-op next to us anyway. And he's took the chap inside the shop, let him just pick up all sorts. And he's like, do you want one of them? Yeah, all right. So he's picked up like a six pack of crisps, grabbed some sandwiches and bought some pop and whatever. And it came up, do you want a beer? He's like, no, I'll be all right. He's like, go on, have some beer. And he's like, picked him up some cans of Stella or something and that as well. He spent like £30 on him. And he's still like, give him a tenner or something as well. I think he even bought him some tobacco and like rolling paper and that. I'm like, mate, you're off your head, man. Like, you know, fair enough, he's living like a king tonight, these geezers, like, but, you know, fucking hell, you're not helping him by giving him drink and that as well, really. But, you know, yeah, it's nice to pay forwards.
Yeah.
Not so much. I mean, as I said, that was a bit extreme with the alcohol and that. He probably didn't need that. But yeah, it's nice to do it sometimes. But obviously some of them, they are on the other scale. Especially when you see the ones that aren't actually homeless. They're just the milk in the system. I remember when I used to get the bus, I was working on a building site in the town centre. And there was this one couple. I'd seen them flop. 3-4 days in a row, they'd come up to everyone at the bus stop. My kid's in the hospital, you got 20p for the bus fare. And it's, look, it's the same story every day. And how they can think they can do it at the same time every day as well.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeBack.com.
Yeah, with the sand commuters,
yeah. It's like, you know, so after like the first day, everyone was standing to do one then anyway. Yeah, people like that cracks me up. But they can earn a lot of money doing it as well, though, can't they?
Yeah.
I've seen bloody stories when they're on like bloody £400 a day, just sitting there, just with a cup in their hand. It's crazy. But you think with how it's all going to change to the digital currency, which I think's 2028 that's coming in. So King Charles, he probably won't even get his face on a pound note yet. Since it'll all be digital currency, so literally just bank cards. What are these homeless people going to do? Because you're not going to have any change to give to them or anything. And buskers as well.
Yeah.
I suppose with buskers, they could have like a little pay machine that you could just tap and donate 50p or something. But homeless people ain't going to be able to do that. Even though I have seen that, we'd have had one. But obviously, they're not homeless if they can afford
it. Yeah, because you need a home address, don't you, to have a bank card.
Yeah. So, yeah, them ones are a bit obvious. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Well, not interesting. It's going to be hard for them. They're not going to be able to do anything. Not going to be able to receive any money. Yeah, I wonder how that's all going to change in a few years.
Yeah.
Right off of the darkness a little bit now. yeah, so you had your good holiday. Obviously, you've never been into any drug partaking or anything anyway. So, did you have any space cakes or anything?
Nah, it's sort of against the. Yeah, it just smelled really bad, like, because you walk in and sort of back in the days with the, you know, how everyone used to smoke in the pubs,
yeah,
just smoke everywhere. I was like, nah.
Oh no, I don't miss those days, because I remember we'd go down to the Legion or wherever, and as soon as you walk in, you didn't notice it much at first because it was the norm. So every room just been a cloud of smoke. It was like the contestants on Stars and they're always coming out of the doorway. And I used to hate it the next day because you wake up and your bedroom would stink because your clothes stunk of smoke, and you wouldn't be able to wear the same clothes 2 days in a row anyway, even though Barry did. but you'd have to put them straight in the wash. It was quite surprising when they actually did bring that law in that you couldn't smoke in Surrey, of what a difference it made. You know, I remember pretty much one of the first nights getting up in the morning and then just still smelling my aftershave on my t-shirt and not like a cloud of smoke and that dog stinking like an Astra. It was it definitely better, because even with the vapes, I know some places aren't as strict about it, but you know, look, not being able to puff on them inside, I think that makes a difference as well. Even though I know it's different worldwide, you've still got countries that allow to the smoking inside. And then there's some places where they have like a separate smoking area and all that as well. But it's definitely for the better over here anyway. Yeah. I can't stand it. Horrible.
It is strange. Go on, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, because even when we left the concert last week, it was literally as soon as we walked outside, everyone's just lighting up. It's just, oh God, I fell off gagging at one point. It was, it's horrible. It's horrible.
I was just going to say how strange it is when you go to, look, obviously, when you are a tourist in other countries and how they work. Look, we just touched on the homeless in America, obviously here as well. But it's just weird how, you know, you can go to some countries and still smoke, you know, in some buildings or side rooms or whatever. But it's just,
I know that's, I suppose it's good in a sense, that's the main thing of those cafes and that in Amsterdam, isn't it? It's because that's a controlled environment to smoke the weed and have your cakes and the mushrooms and whatever. Because you're not allowed to just smoke it while you're out walking around, are you?
Yeah.
It has to be inside or in their
designated
areas. Area. Because again, it's only from what I've seen. There's numerous different products. There's one which looked like a bag of candy floss, but it's just full of like the smoke, as if it's like a bong but in a bag, and so they just sit there and just inhale a little bit here and there. I mean, maybe that's something we can do on a future episode, a special or something, get some mushrooms, which mushrooms is a mad one, because they grow naturally. It's mushroom season, like you can find them special areas like in the woods and whatever, like, but you can literally just see them while you're walking around, but as soon as you pick it up, that's illegal. It's weird. So again, I know weed, it's technically a legal, it's a natural product because it grows itself from the, even from the earth, or if you put it in a pot yourself, like, but you know, that's illegal. But yeah, as soon as you pick up a mushroom, illegal. It's weird. Which it's strange as well, because I don't know. So I don't know why. The way it's medically proven and medically available in most, if not all, of America now. I think Canada as well.
Yeah, I think it varies on the state.
Yeah. So essentially, you just have a medical card. You go into whatever shop that provides it, and you just show your card, and then they give it to you.
Yeah.
Don't they? And I don't know what state it was now, but there's a few of them anyway. Once they started doing that, and it's all controlled and provided through the governments, crime rates went down because they're not wasting time just picking up little drug dealers, because there's no need for them, them drug dealers anyway now. And it's like research levels went up, profits towards the state governments and whatever, all these things went up, and so all that information's available, yet we still won't make it legal. I'm not saying it because I haven't smoked weed for bloody years now, to be fair. Not that I used to smoke a lot anyway, but it was, I think it's, what was it, Theresa May, who was the Prime Minister for a little while. Her husband is like the biggest worldwide provider for CBD oil. So essentially, whatever farm unit or something that he's got over here grows a load of weed, extracts the oil and sells it worldwide. So you think, oh yeah, it's all right for them to be able to grow it and do whatever they need to because it suits them, but then they won't provide or sort out the service for everyone else. That's just the rich keeping themselves rich again, isn't it? You know, There's plenty that Rishi Sunak's doing as well. But it's nice to say that Trump's going to be back in power soon. That'll be fun, eh? I saw the interview that he did the other week. Again, I've only seen clips of it, but he gets asked the question. Typical Trump style, he gets asked the question to do with something, which it was basically along the lines of how much money has already been sent over to Ukraine to help with the war, and would you still continue to give that money? And so he skirts around it a little bit, and then because he keeps getting asked about it, no, you're not answering the question, you're not answering it, he just goes, look, when I'm president again, look, it'll be over in a day, because I'm good friends with Putin and the other one, and that so because I'm friends with them, I'll just sit them down and then tell them to stop being knuckleheads, basically. And look, it will be over in a day. Look, we'll all be shaking hands and having a steak meal or whatever he comes out with. And he's just gold, isn't it? He's just so funny. Look, even his campaign, it's just slagging off Biden and that. There's videos of Biden's going up the steps into a plane and he falls up the stairs, and there's one where he's struggling to put his coat on and this and that. And Trump's still doing his usual tweets, just laughing at him and everything. But the whole campaign's like, Biden's done this, we'll do this better, we'll do it this way. And you just have to laugh. And to be honest, obviously I don't follow politics much anyway, but the other chap who's running, he's trying to do it against Trump, but he's also slagging off Biden as well. So it doesn't seem like they're actually promoting what they want to do too much. Yeah. They're just saying, Biden's not done anything, he's not gonna do anything, let's get him out, let's get him in. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens over there. It's just mad, isn't it? America's just mad in general. Shout out to our American fans, we do appreciate you. Speaking of which, you know, we do know that some of yous out there are in America, Washington, and without looking at the stats, but yous are there, so send us any questions in on that. You know, we want to know what you think about our views on your country. If you've got any topics or anything you want us to talk about, just ping it over. We open ears, we want to hear what you have to say. So have you got anything else you want to say about old Amsterdam?
No, not really. I think we touched on all the aspects. I mean, just everything that I thought was weird and
wonderful.
Yeah, weird and wonderful, yeah.
Well, so while you was on your job, he's always having a long week at work, just grafting as always, as I do. One of the days, well, the notes after I'd eaten, wasn't really paying attention to the TV, just finished my food. And then as I was about to go up to bed, I'd noticed the programme on the TV. So it was called DNA Family Secrets, and it was this old chap. I'd say he was in his 80s. I didn't see the backstory up leading to it, but so he didn't know anything about his family history, was what I gathered. So it was essentially like that DNA test. I can't think of the bloody name of that now, but where it tells you your heritage.
Oh, yeah. So, ancestry.
Yeah, so it'll tell you if you like. You're Scottish and not Spanish and whatever. So they've done that, and the lady's sitting there, she's like, right, so we've picked up names of, I'm guessing it was adopted as well, because they were coming out with different surnames. And so they were saying this name, that name, blah blah. So going off of that, it's 91% certain that your grandfather wasn't a Nazi, and he looked so disappointed. I thought he was going to cry, but obviously he didn't mean it in that way, but to me it just looked like he was disappointed that he wasn't a Nazi. And so his family was Jewish, from what she was getting at, basically, but it was just, it really looked like he was disappointed, and he didn't say anything about it. And then his wife come on to there, and they were explaining on where his family come from. They were doing, like, they had the map that he was from here and there and different parts and that lot. But I thought it was quite interesting. It was at the end of the show, and plus I was going to bed anyway. So I think that's a programme that I might watch a little bit more of, to be fair. But it was just his initial reaction. I thought it was so funny, because he did just look devastated, as if he wanted to be a Nazi, but he wasn't. Like, I don't know why you would want to be one these days. I'm sure it was good back in the day when Hitler was around, if that's what you wanted to be a part of. Like,
was he German then?
So from what I gathered, he didn't know what he was. Which I suppose that's the whole premise.
I'm
wondering
why she was saying you weren't a Nazi. I don't know. He might have got told that his family was from.
It might have been maybe the adoption papers where he was.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. If he was, I can't figure the name of the homes for him now. But where the
camps?
Kids, yeah, where the kids get adopted from?
Yeah.
So. Like, from one of them places, might have been whatever documents they had from there, because they didn't have parent details.
Right.
That maybe they thought he was either.
So I thought it was just a weird thing to say when she's like, your family didn't come from like Nazis or whatever.
Yeah.
That's just a weird. But yeah, obviously you only put that segment, so
yeah,
it was just
so
weird overall.
I probably should have went back and rewatched the episode or something, like, but yeah, it was literally just looked devastating. But I mean, to be fair, once. That says that he was like whatever percentage like Jewish family, and that he did have that stereotypical big nose. So once it says that, I was like, it's kind of a bit obvious, like. But yeah, I just thought that was quite a funny little moment the other night. I mean, to be fair, I've not watched much TV this week. To be fair, it literally has been out early, getting back, doing the usual walking the dog and that. Oh God, which he had his moment again the other day. He ate Amazon packet. Lucky he didn't eat the blue tack that was inside, because what came out of him was bad enough as it was. So I wouldn't have been able to handle it if it was blue coming out of him as well. Jesus, man. He's off his head, that dog is. but again, even with walking him earlier, this little chihuahua going at him, like trying to attack him, and the lady can't even hold the lead back properly, and it's a chihuahua and she's struggling to hold it. I'm like, you need to sort your dog out, bab. You know, it's not right. Mine's there, like, just all excited just to be out of the house and that, like, and yours is ready to, like, draw blood. It's just not right, man. She's like, oh, he's only like it with me. I'm like, no, I see that dog all the time in your window. It's always aggressive, like, you know, give it a chill pill or something, man. So no TV or anything. I've not really done any prep for this, to be fair. It's been hard getting it all sorted, hasn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been a lot of technical. Obviously, it's took us back.
We've spent over 2 hours messing around.
Just
really,
trying to get it sorted, so.
But we've got there.
Yeah.
We're here.
And hopefully, from now on, we're back to usual. Every week.
Weekly posts. But one thing that I have been meaning to say for a while, to be fair, look. So you look a little bit of an accumulator, an acrobat from time to time, don't you?
Yeah, every now and again.
I'll do it every now and again as well. I'm not really much of a gambler, but I think this is something that we should do. So just on the basic betting of, put it as roulette, basically red or you're black, so you've got a 50-50 chance. You're 16 bets away from being a millionaire.
Oh, if you get it the right constantly, 16
yeah.
times.
So if I remember it rightly, if you start off with £100, so you're constantly doubling it. So I think it's something that
you'd get to like about a couple of grand, you'd be like, fuck, I
but that's yeah, that's
yeah.
the moral thing, but I think you just got to go for it, really, ain't you?
You could put it at first one, God.
that's the risk, though, isn't it? Yeah,
well, I think if you could turn £100 into, like, as soon as you start, like, £30,000, you just walk away. There's no way you would risk £30,000.
But then I'd just half it again. Like,
no, I know what you're saying, but then I don't know, am I? In the moment, I suppose.
Yeah, it's in the moment. I think it'd be a funny one to do one day if we could just sit here.
Yeah, I don't think you can record it though. But you mean like do it on the laptop?
Yeah, yeah. So not actually put it on screen, but like record our reactions while we're doing it. That would be an interesting episode. Because it could be 2 minutes long, it could be a fucking hour long, couldn't it? just watching the live.
A short episode.
Yeah, yeah.
A really long one.
On a, but yeah, that would be a raw emotions coming out. Because could you imagine it, Rick? Because I think the final figure is like a million, like 1.3 million, something like that, with the way it works out. I should have had all the maps ready for it, really, but never mind. So, yeah, could you imagine? You're at like 600 odd thousand, and you're on your 16th spin now, and we've put it all on reds.
No, you did. No, I couldn't.
I think it'd be worth it, though.
No. I don't. If someone sets you to 600 grand in our cash, or you can double it or lose it, you just take it. You can do everything you want. Buy a house, buy a dream car, holiday, have money in the bank. You never have to worry. I just wouldn't.
But then you could do all that twice then.
You could do it all twice. You could do it all like zero times.
Yeah.
How much you'd be more gutted if you ended up walking away with nothing?
Yeah, but
because you had it.
But if we did it between a pair of us, you think we're only £50 down there.
I think you know what would happen. No, you can't think that way. Cause
no, but that's the really side of it, though.
You know what we'd have to do? You'd have to do one and I'd have to do one. So 100 quid for you, 100 quid for me. So that way, because I know if I got to about a couple of grand, I'll take it out. I'd be like, fuck, I ain't carrying this on. Are 50 quid.
I know I'd like to give you the big balls and just keep going. But yeah, I don't know. So let's get it on now then. So we were starting on 100. So obviously your first one
200
is up to 200. So
four.
200 we're still going for it.
Yeah. I think, and it's until you start hitting the thousands.
Yeah, so number three, 400, still going for it easy. You know, it's just fucking. I mean, don't get me wrong, I know it might sound a bit cocky to some people. £400 isn't a lot of money. To some people, it is a lot of money.
No, yeah, in terms of what we were saying, look, the whole point is.
Yeah, so. Yeah, number three is 8. And then number four, this is when we're into four figures. So we're on 1600 now.
Now, here's what I'll be thinking. Do I just take this and then just fucking call it a day? Because I've turned 50 quid into that.
Yeah, but then. So again, 1600, I'm still thinking like, no, I want more. So, So
it'd be 3,200.
It's
3,200. Yeah. See, there's no way you have 100 quid and you've turned into 3,200 and you're carrying on.
I still feel like I would at this point now. No. Yeah. See, so you've definitely already stopped at this point.
I think if there's 3,200, I'm taking it off 100 quid. I think that's where if I've got it and it's on my balance, I'll probably walk away then.
So this is what we would have to do it separately.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So we'd have to do the same, like red or black then. So you'd still know, if I carry on, you'd still know.
Or we'd do
how
opposites.
Much you would have lost when I carry on.
Yeah. Right, yeah,
we can't do opposites. Yeah. Maybe that could be a separate.
Because
when
one would go straight away, yeah. Isn't it? But. And so, also, what are we doing this? Are we throwing like a couple of quid on green constantly just in case? Or is it just...
No, because it has to be.
Yeah.
Well,
if it's zero, anyway, it's you've lost as well, haven't you?
Yeah. So it's... Yeah, with this way, it's literally just heads or tails, or red or black. Yeah. So I'm going on. I've got the 6,000.
Here's where it starts with starting like really good numbers.
So 6,400... Then we're on to
12.8.
12.8. I'm still going. I know.
You think, so if you're 12,900 on
if
your
I've
balance.
If I've already got to this point, I'm like, I'm on a roll, I am.
But you could be like, I could take this money and just do it, like,
yeah,
off 100 quid. Like, you'll never, well, you'll say you'll never get that kind of money again off 100 quid, but I think, realistically, if I got to 12, I might be take the 10 and play the 2A. You know, like, start to be logical about it. Like, so you don't lose it all then, I suppose, when you start getting, like, anything over 10 grand, you probably, when you start getting that, I think you'd have to take the 10, play the 2A.
Right. Then, so,
I'm just
a note of your 2A, because we'll work that out afterwards then. But I'm still going. And then the next one, 24,600. Now that started to twist me a little bit there, because I'm saying 24 grand.
And then so the next one's going to be obviously over 50.
Yeah. So.
So this is where it starts.
Yeah. Every one of these now. Yeah. This is where you're definitely thinking, oh god, that's life changing.
So how many wins is that in a row? That is. Is that six in a row to get to there?
It's wrong because I messed up, didn't I? So let me.
I thought it was.
So, 1, 2.
See?
3. Oh. 4. 5. 6. 7.
Oh, it was eight. So that's eight win spins.
Eight is 25,600. And then nine is 51,000.
So 10, you only need to get 10 right for 100 grand.
Yeah. But then, so 10, you're on 102,400.
Yeah.
But so just imagine, I think if we did this, we'd have to have a couple of bevs. Because nerves are...
Yeah, you want to be logical about it all the time, and you rather than just...
Yeah, but I mean, if you've had a couple of drinks, the nerves aren't going to be there as much. You're going to be like big balling it.
I mean, big balling, yeah, maybe I'd probably spin more than what I said, which was the 3,200 or whatever. But when you start into the 50 grand, 102, it's the point where you'd have to sit and be like, we've had a few beers, 100 quid, we've done it. Like, let's just call it a night.
But I'd still go. If I've got to this point, I'm going again. Because I'm after that 204,800.
Just imagine though, you had 102 and then you lost it.
Yeah.
You'd be like, yeah, you know, I only put 50 quid on whatever. But I'm telling you now.
I know.
That you'd think about that for the rest of your life. You'd think about it more losing 100 grand than playing on. I think so. I think you'd care more about losing the 100 grand than playing on from 100 grand.
Yeah, but the reward's greater than the risk. So, we're on 204,800 at the moment then.
409.
And then we're on, it goes up to 409,600. So then again, after that, it's...
So, right there. So if you actually got up to 409,000, you wouldn't plan it.
I think at this point I've definitely already cashed in.
I think for me, if we was to do this and we ever got anywhere near 100 grand, I'd have to be like, get me out. I couldn't play no more. That would be my.
See, so again, I think we'd go.
We'd have
then.
To do
if we got to the 102,000. I think that's where we split it in half, so we've got 25 each, and then we carry on with the other 51. But that's an extra step. You gotta try and beat the odds already to get 16 in a row. Now you gotta get 17. So we're at 409,000 there, 819,200, and so then the last one after that, then 1.6. 3.8 million.
So it's a lot of, it's a lot of wind spins to win in a row.
I don't think you're ever going to do this because you're emotionally already all over the place.
But you
and we're just hypothetically.
But you think about it, to get 19 heads or tails, technically what it is, in a row.
Yeah, 16.
Correct.
I mean, 16 to get to that point, yeah.
You know, it's just... I don't think it's... No, it's... I would be good at... Imagine, what was the one before? Sorry, 100 grand.
Yeah, 890.
Imagine having 100 grand and losing that. No. I couldn't sleep.
I think we're going to have to do it.
We'll have to do it separate. Because I'm...
But how gutted would you be if I bang that out?
Because I know if you...
All the way.
If you bang that out, I know you'd give me some. So I'd be fucking... So.
I think we're going to have to roll a contract up and say that we don't do that. But nah. Fuck you. Obviously, yeah, I'll square you up anyway.
Do you know what I mean? But like...
I
think realistically, Jay, when you start hitting 100 grand, that's when you... I think even you would have to be like, it's 100 grand or 50 quid. It's... there's a lot you can do with 100 grand. Like life... it's not life changing.
It's life changing.
Don't get me wrong, the million quid is definitely life changing because you have no worries whatsoever then. But
that
100 grand, I think, is where if I was to risk it to that would be like, I am losing 100 grand on a spin. I'm on spin.
Well, I think that's definitely something we're going to have to do.
Yeah, we should definitely have to sell it off, yeah.
Yeah.
What if we both just lose one or two?
So, but yeah, I think if that happens, like, if we don't, if we lost pretty much straight away, then we'd have to do it again after a couple of weeks.
Yeah. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be a funny one, I reckon. Yeah, so I think we've done well considering we didn't really have any prep for this week. Hopefully I'll have more time now to get back into it, get some topics, actually just spend half an hour looking on my phone watching whatever crappy videos to get some more topics back in mind. But anyway, so we'll call that a pod.
It's a pod.
Don't forget to like, subscribe, all that jazz. Send in any emails to us at realtalkingpod@gmail.com. The Twitter, it did change from the original one, so it's Ash and JD. Again, when I get round to it, I will sort out an Instagram or whatever. Just don't have enough hours in the days or days in the weeks. So yeah, hope you enjoyed. Don't forget to share as well. And we'll see you next week then.